Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the first ever podcast on behalf of MuslimMatters.org. The following is an interview that took place between myself and Brother Umar Colin, who is the director and producer of a new documentary titled Muslims in Australia. Now, as the title suggests, this film is, surprise, surprise, about Muslims in Australia, but there is a twist in the plot in that it doesn't just concentrate on the present-day status of this particular community in this particular country, but rather actually digs deeper to reveal the very history of Islam in Australia, which spans several centuries, which I found to be absolutely amazing. I never knew that. So because I was so amazed by this film, mashallah, I had to ask Brother Amir what inspired him to make this particular documentary in the way that he did, and I also asked him some general questions about the filmmaking process. So I hope you find it as beneficial as I did, inshallah, and I'd love to hear your comments about the interview, and please feel free to leave any questions you have for Brother Amir on the blog. I'd also like to apologize in advance for the slightly poor sound quality, which probably can be explained by the huge distance between me and Brother Amir, me being in the UK, him being in Australia. But anyway, I hope you can still make everything out, and here we go. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Amir. Your film, I felt, was a novel approach to da'wah, because not only were you explaining Islam, but you're also telling people about the history of Islam and the Muslims in Australia. What inspired you to take this particular approach?
Well, while we were doing this project, and even before we started doing this project, we thought about how much people know about Muslims in general. And we discovered through research that about half of the people never met a Muslim in Australia. And those other half met Muslim only briefly, or they heard about Islam from the newspaper, which is obviously a distorted picture. Some of them thought that Muslims believe in moon or stars, or they worship someone else. But I was amazed by that. And then, of course, history is something that today is coming in the media, in the context of who was here first. As you know, Australia is about 200 years old as a country. I mean, Captain Cook came in about just over 200 years ago, discovered Australia, and it was colonized later. But Muslims, surprisingly, they were here hundreds of years before Captain Cook. And this is something that many people don't know anything about. So when we looked at this history, how did Muslims come to Australia, which is the place they refer to as Marigi, we found that this contact was very peaceful, and unlike other contacts with indigenous population, it was described as the most successful encounter between any two cultures ever on this continent. So we wanted to share this history because we as Muslims, we look at this as bright spot in our life, in our history. It's interesting. We don't force people, but we are givers, educators. We are building things, and we have to know the history and continue with our great history in present. As I usually say to my friends, you know, we usually boast how we invented zero. But now we have to put something in front of that zero. You cannot stay zero. You have to put numbers. Then you get meaning from that zero. Otherwise, if you are zero, then nothing. What do you have from zero? Things. You have to put numbers in front. This is what we have to do. So if history can teach us anything, and we all believe that history is a great teacher, Muslims, they always were contributing, building, giving, establishing relationship, and really the future looks bright with Muslims.
I actually find it quite amazing that the history of Islam in Australia is so old. I mean, if you think about it, this means that both Muslim and non-Muslim Australians actually share Islam from a heritage point of view, that Islam was part of Australian culture before the Europeans came, before Captain Cook, which means is actually something that both communities share. And I think if they both realized it, it might help the non-Muslims to not perceive Islam and Muslim culture as some kind of invading, alien, foreign threat is actually something which is part of their history, which is something they should embrace. You know, even if they don't want to embrace Islam itself as a religion, but actually just accept the fact that it's always been there, it's helped to shape the country. And it's something that they should investigate and appreciate on that level at least, and will hopefully help the two communities, the Muslim and non-Muslim communities in Australia, to maybe come together on common ground. I think it's quite amazing, mashallah.
If we have a look at how Islam spread, Muslims from the 9th century, they were engaged in discovering the world. And a famous Muslim scientist, who was also a geographer and a mathematician, Muhammad ibn Musa Khwarizmi, who is the father of algebra, he was composing the map of known world with 70 other geographers. Khalifa entrusted him this task, and we had the maps of the known world in the 9th century. And from the 10th century onwards, we were frequenting this region. For example, Indonesia, which, as you know, is today the largest country, one of the largest Muslim countries, which has around 200 million Muslims, came in contact with Islam in about 12th century. And then it spread, in the next few centuries, spread throughout entire country, including Malaysia, Java, and Sumatra. Then, after 15th century, Muslims started traveling to Australia. And today, Muslims, unfortunately, they are challenged in the media. They are told to go back to their own country. They don't belong here. The value system is challenged as inferior to commonly practice or stereotypes which are portrayed. The value system is challenged in a way that Muslims feel psychologically knocked down. And when you are psychologically down, it's very hard to respond, to say who you are, what you want, what you stand for. You start losing the identity. The issue here is the context in which we live. To be proud to say that this is our country, we helped build this country. We have a mosques which are about 200 years old or close to that. And we built some of the major infrastructure projects in Australia today. Even the train line, main train line, bears the name of Afghan people who came here in 1850s. So Muslims, again, as I said, they have something to be proud of. And it's a great conversation point in terms of getting to know Muslims. And we know, as you said before, more people know us, more we talk, the tensions, the stereotypes are broken, and yeah, we have better ground to communicate with each other.
I think something I find quite amazing is how ignorant you say the Australian population is about Muslims and Islam, considering the neighbourhood in which Australia as a country resides, you know, surrounded by all these predominantly Muslim countries, that there could be so much cultural ignorance.
That is amazing, that because we live in such an environment which is obviously Malaysia and the Asian Muslim countries and Asia. I mean, we are bordering here in our Asian part of the world, some half billion Muslim population just in our neighborhood. But the issue here is that Muslims are only few percent. So these few people can interact maybe with, 10% of population on a regular basis through their work or something like that, university. And the rest, people depend on other like newspapers, TV, for the information about Islam. And today, with all this technology, internet and information highway, we never been more ignorant about others, because the amount of information is overwhelming. It's now, the problem is filtering through what you really benefit from, and there is lots of junk information. So this makes it harder. I mean, we consume information, but it's not very useful. And the mainstream media is not focusing on Muslim history or indigenous history or something like that. I mean, we have books written about Australia. These books mention all values, everything, but in last 100 years or so, there is nothing about Aboriginals, about Muslims. And actually, Aboriginals came in contact with Islam first, and Indonesian came to contact with Islam before Christianity came, which is quite interesting again, because the main argument, which was, I don't know if you follow the Australian politics, but we have something called citizenship test, where the one of the question on that test done by government is what values is our Australian system based on. And the correct answer in that test as Judeo-Christian values. Acknowledgement of Muslims or anything like that.
The film has already been screened in some locations in Australia. How well has it been received by the media and by the general public? Have you had any feedback, good or bad?
Yes, we show this movie in the Melbourne in 5 theatres simultaneously at the opening night, and it was really huge. We have so many people. I'll soon have some clips on the website about that, and it was received. I'm overwhelmed by response and people emails and all of that. Then we went to Sydney. We had about 3 screenings in Sydney. We went to another smaller city just yesterday, Wollongong. I came back to Melbourne today. We are going to other cities. We've seen some journalists. We had some articles in the newspaper here in Melbourne, and people are slowly catching up. Last Sunday, in our first screening in Sydney, we had a young lady, 20 years old. She became Muslim after watching the movie.
Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah.
She came from a Russian Jewish family, and she was David's boyfriend, for example. And after the film, you know how we have the scene where people are told how they become. Something happened to her. She started, we could hear in the background, she's saying to boyfriend, you know, no, I want to become Muslim now. And we wonder what's happening. So after that, she wanted to see the Sheikh, and obviously she knew a little bit about Islam since she came there, but what she saw there maybe pushed her, just gave her that extra, you know, encouragement to become Muslim. I mean, which is quite interesting. I mean, we want people to taste Islam, because sometimes when you try nice food, and sometimes maybe some people tell you, no, that food is not good. Maybe look strange. Don't try. But as soon as you try one small part, all of their talk will disappear in your mind.
Yeah.
Because you want to eat it now all. And this is what you want with this film, to give them a small taste and encourage them to try more. The thing is, this is the first ever documentary about Muslims done by Muslims. And we try to portray not just history and past, but who we are, what drives us, to understand full picture, what we have internally that drives our external actions, and also what is the benefit for the society.
I'd like to now talk about the actual production of the film. MashaAllah, I thought it was a really professional production, really refreshing to see something so well made. How easy was it, or how hard was it to actually get this thing done? Can you tell us more about how you went about it? How did you organize it? What were the challenges? What were the costs? Because these things can be quite costly, you know, in terms of equipment and manpower and other things. So please share with us your experiences with this project.
You know, as English, they have saying, I come from Bosnia anyway, so, and we have similar saying, but in English, there's a saying, if there is a will, there is a way. And that's 100% true. We did this documentary in, took us about 12 months to research and film, and then 3-4 months to edit. Now, motive here to learn while we were doing these things, a light, the audio, the sound, the picture, the angles, the all of these things, editing, so many things. But you take it one step at a time. I mean, we had some experience, obviously, because we were doing some short videos, lectures. You know, until you do it, you start doing it, you make a few mistakes, and then you move on, you learn. And this is actually, I would use the opportunity to call Muslims to start recording and learning these things. There are so many young people there who have skills, but then just need to come together. Someone knows, and every work, it's always collective work. You cannot do it by yourself. I mean, this project, complex as it is always to achieve something good, you need to get a synergy of many people who come together, and then they produce something great. One person cannot achieve great things. That's why we call it Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Why Jama'ah is there? We focus on Sunnah part. Without Jama'ah, this Sunnah cannot be fulfilled. There was a tribe during the times of Sahaba, and they said, they come to one of the Sahaba, and they said to him, we are the best people in the whole Arabia, the smartest, the bravest, this and that, some 6-7 qualities. And he asked him, how come? I never heard any tribe claiming all of these qualities. He says, we have 6 people in our tribes. One is the smartest, one is the most brave, one is this, one is that, and so on. So when this man said, go this way, do this, we all follow.
Uh-huh.
This is like we all share his brain. And same with the brave one. Brave say, go this way, attack something, you know, we all go the same way. So we same share his gift. And this is how we should be, sharing each other gift. And there is enough skills, enough knowledge there. Someone research, someone doing engineering, audio, video, that we all benefit from. If we work together, we can do everything. But there needs to be a little bit will and sacrifice and spirit of adventure. Go in the car, you know, travel around, see things, because traveling is a form of learning. It opens your eyes. The main thing why we are not succeeding today, because we want quick progress. Things have to grow organically. We have to be patient. If you put it in the ground as a seed, wait slowly, take care of it, be patient, and it will come. So if you want to build great things or do great things, you have to start small. There is no shortcut to the right place.
And do you have any projects for the future in mind?
Yes, we have a few projects which we are thinking now to do. They are on the world scale. We are looking for some investors because these projects, they take sometimes tens of thousands of dollars. Next projects, we're probably looking at some hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we're looking at investors who are willing to do that, to bring the rest of the world history together and put it forward. Because
okay.
I believe that today Muslims need to be reminded and they need a little bit hope. And as one sheikh said, we need to work our people with love, give them something nice, to be hopeful, to be optimistic, to be and drive that progress forward. And I think that's what's missing, is to show the future, to show how things could be, to revive that zeal.
Well, mashallah, that's a really noble endeavor, and I pray Allah grants you success in that and all your projects. For the listeners, those of you who want to watch the film, and I highly recommend that you do, you can buy it now on DVD via the website muslimsinaustralia.com. It's a really, really, mashallah, great film. Facts contained therein are amazing, and I never had a clue about the history of Islam in Australia. So please, please invest in a copy and buy one for your friends and family. So it's only left for me to say JazakAllah Khair to Brother Amer for giving up his time to the readers of Muslim Matters and benefiting us with his knowledge of the filmmaking process. I pray that people out there are inspired to follow his example and make similar documentaries or films that educate the public on Islam and the Muslims. So, JazakAllah Khair for listening, and take care yourselves. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.